Remember last winter when, for days, maybe weeks, bits of cargo were washing up on our beaches? If you were walking along Jimmy's Beach here in the Hunter, for example, it was like walking along a rubbish tip full of empty containers, plastic, even car parts. And it was all because a cargo ship, the YM Efficiency, lost its load off the coast north of Newcastle. A huge effort was put in by locals to clean up the areas, and authorities have also had to take to the seas to find any stray container parts and lost goods. Not only was there something of an environmental disaster in the wake of this, fishermen were worried about what it was going to mean for them in the short, medium and long term. Well, the issue hasn't gone away, and Australian Maritime Safety Authority General Manager of Response, Mark Morrow, has joined us in the studio after meeting with representatives from the local fishing industry today. Welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
What was the agenda for today's meetings?
It was just a general conversation to start with the fishing co-op guys, just to talk about the impact it's having on their business, but also to talk about what action AMSA was taking with regards to the removal of containers that are left on the ocean floor, and to discuss the insurer's role in that and the shipping company, the owners of that vessel, and where we go from here.
Let's take those in course then. What is the day-to-day impact for fishermen these days?
Look, absolutely. Apart from the pollution issues, which are probably the primary thing for AMSA, I mean, that's the thing that we focus on in terms of recouping costs related to the recovery of the containers. There is a big safety issue there, and they're saying that the impact on their livelihood and the fishing industry for them is significant. They're talking about a loss of about 50,000 just in one type of fish since this incident occurred, because they haven't been able to fish that area. But probably more...
So just before we move on, so the safety issue is quite simply they're worried they're going to run into something submerged.
Well, they have.
Right, okay.
They've hooked
up. And so there are areas where they're just not going.
Well, there's areas they probably shouldn't go, but because their livelihood depends on fishing that particular area, it's difficult not to. Some of them have tried to move to other areas, but because they've got to go so far, fatigue-related issues, a series of things that's just not viable for them. But we have had hookups on those containers. In one instance, one of the vessels had water across half of its deck. AMSA, of course, is a safety authority, so we do have an interest and responsibilities in keeping our domestic commercial vessels safe out there. And certainly my message would be to the owners of that vessel or the insurers, whilst they're debating whether they have a responsibility to clean this mess up, I wonder how they would feel if one of the fishermen or multiple died in an event where there's a hookup and the trawler sinks, whether they could look the families of those people in the eyes with some confidence that they're doing the right thing.
How often is that happening? Are they still running into things regularly?
Yes. My understanding is there's been around about four or five hookups. The insurers have suggested that they might provide some equipment to them, sonar equipment, in order for them to fish there with some confidence. But I should indicate that whilst there were some 80-odd containers that were lost over the side of YM Efficiency, only 42 have been identified to date. So whilst we know where half of them are, we're still trying to locate the other half.
You mentioned some are on the sea floor. Are you counting those, and what is their status?
Absolutely. So we have done a number of underwater surveys. We've surveyed the condition of those containers with a view to whether or not we would be able to remove them. They're in various states of structural integrity. Some have split, and there are already things on the ocean floor. So the trawlers are bringing up push bikes, for example, which are cable tied together in batches of like eight bikes. So they're difficult to bring up, and they're fouling on their fishing gear, apart from the fact that there's significant amounts of pollution on the ocean floor. Some of it, of course, washed up early in the piece back in June. And there was a concerted effort by authorities and the insurer then to clean the shore, but they seem to be less interested in what people can't see.
Are things still washing up on the beaches?
To my knowledge, occasionally things are washing up, mainly plastics, containers, food containers and so on. Some of the heavier items that are still down there, like flat packs from IKEA, and there's a couple of cars down there, I believe, but other items that are heavier and probably still contained are still there. But those containers will break down over time, of course, and the effects of the load or the content over time is too early to say.
Yeah, and presumably some of that will sink and some of it will float and find its way back on shore.
Indeed. So if the containers destruct, self-destruct, then some of those internal plastics, for example, will come out and we don't know where they'll go. They'll be carried by the current through the water column into various places. Some of the containers, when they fell off, floated for a period and then settled somewhere else. That's probably why we've not been able to locate them yet. But there is a variety of contents down there on the ocean floor, all of which is not in the natural marine environment. So AMSA's view is that that constitutes pollution. And unfortunately, the insurers of the view that in their view, that it does not constitute pollution, which I find hard to believe.
You're with Aaron Carney on ABC Newcastle Drive and across the state this afternoon. And we're speaking with Australian Maritime Safety Authority General Manager of Response, Mark Morrow, in the wake of a meeting with representatives from the local fishing industry today about the ongoing effects of the cargo ship losing 80 plus containers, the YM Efficiency, a little under a year ago off the coast north of Newcastle. You've made several references to the company and the insurance company that they are insured with. What is the status of your negotiations with them?
So we met with Ying Meng, which is the owners of the vessel, and Britannia P&I in our offices in Canberra last Friday. We attempted to have an open conversation about the nature of their responsibility, both under the AMSA Act of 1990 and then the Protection of the Sea Act, which takes into account costs recoverable for us relative to pollution. And quite frankly, their response I found condescending and disgraceful. It's probably the best way to put it. Their acceptance of liability relative to pollution in the marine environment was based more on a legal defence of whether they should have to. And I was certainly keen to impress on them the moral and ethical responsibilities and whether or not it would pass the pub test if people spoke about whether or not 82 shipping containers constitute pollution on the ocean floor, and I just think that it's ridiculous.
Where is the legal jurisdiction in a circumstance such as this? Because it's not open seas. What obligations does somebody have in these circumstances, at least from precedent?
Look, certainly under the Protection of the Sea Act, which I referred to before.
Is that an Australian act or is it internationally agreed to? Australian act.
I think it's an Australian act.
Yeah.
It is an Australian act. But the main part of that, and I'll just read it to you, is it says, to combat pollution in the marine environment caused by a discharge or disposal from a ship, or to combat a threat of pollution in the marine environment caused by a threat of a discharge or disposal from a ship. Now, in my mind, that's pretty straightforward.
Indeed.
And anyone who would suggest that shipping containers on the ocean floor somehow constitutes the natural environment clearly is adopting a position which doesn't take into account social and environmental factors, neither their moral or other ethical responsibilities.
So where does that leave you in terms of the insurance claim?
So certainly AMSA is pursuing the definitional issues related to pollution through the court. That will occur within the next couple of months, or we'll get it listed and we'll go from there. But we're 9 months in, and you know the thing I want to impress here is that in a similar incident in Germany about a month ago where there was a discharge of 230 shipping containers, all of the parties involved got rolled their sleeves up and got involved quickly and commenced to clean that up. We have not seen that sort of response from Britannia or Ying Meng in this instance. Certainly they've adopted a position where if you can see it on shore, happy to help you clean that up. But beyond that, doesn't matter. It's down there near Australia. It's out of the way. People can't see it. But there are those two big issues I said. There's the one of safety and, of course, the pollution itself.
Can you pursue them through Australian courts? Is it an international court battle?
No, it's an Australian court. And certainly we have served invoices on them for what is about $500,000 worth of costs we've incurred so far. AMSA's view is that we will undertake the work that is necessary at some expense to us, and it could be anywhere up to $40 million or beyond. But we feel that the Australian public expects that we would do that, as does the shipping industry, and we will seek reimbursement of all of those costs from the insurer.
Meanwhile, back at the fishermen, what were you able to tell them today that will give them hope for their future livelihoods, if anything?
Yeah, look, I made a commitment to them that AMSA certainly is committed to helping clean that up. They did express some concern that in the course of trying to remove the shipping containers, we could actually cause more pollution discharge into the marine environment. Understandably, they were concerned about that. But my comment to them on that was none of it should be there in the first place. So AMSA's view is that despite the fact that those containers might pull apart, that in any case, all of the pollution resulting from that discharge of containers needs to be removed.
Did you set the expectation that this is unlikely to be dealt with quickly?
I did. And I also said to them that AMSA would like to consult with them about the options that we get in terms of the ways in which we can handle this cleanup. We've sought via a consultant advice in relation to how many different ways it can be done. Some of that advice, I assume, may be to leave it where it is or to centralise it in a pile. There'll be a number of options that will be put to us. We'll look at the best one. Obviously, our prime objective is to remove all of that pollution from the marine environment, but it will be difficult given that the containers have been there for 9 months. Some of them broke apart on impact in the water anyway, so we'll see how we go.
This is a very important issue with lots of complex and critical elements. We hope this isn't the last occasion we get to engage with you on this, because there are a lot of people listening right now who would be very concerned to see how this unfolds. Thank you for telling us how today went. Australian Maritime Safety Authority General Manager of Response, Mark Morrow, in the wake of a meeting with representatives from the local fishing industry here in the Hunter today about the ongoing implications of those containers lost overboard from the cargo ship YM Efficiency off the coast of Newcastle 9 months ago. You're with Aaron Carney on ABC Newcastle Drive and across New South Wales.